Hello, this is Climate and Community, Maine Voices for Action, with a Climate to Thrive. This five-minute weekly program will illuminate stories of climate courage, solutions, and resilience-building action, with a focus on communities leading the way right here in coastal Maine. I'm your host, Brianna Cunliffe.
From July 12th to 14th, the Dawnland Festival of Arts and Ideas brought a Native arts market, featured performances, and Indigenous thought leadership on some of the biggest questions of our time to Bar Harbor. This event premieres the evolution of the Abbey Museum Indian Market and Native American Festival, and it has expanded the event's historical focus on arts and performance to include a spotlight on conversations, since, as Betsy Richards, the executive director and senior partner with Wabanaki Nations, says, Native arts and cultures cannot be separated from Native ways of knowing. The Dawnland Festival of Arts and Ideas continues to celebrate the Native creative economy on Wabanaki homelands while lifting up Indigenous thought leadership, vital to the conversation on a healthy planet and society for us all. One of the featured panels during the event was entitled Weaving a Sustainable Environment. In a packed, sweltering auditorium on the campus of the College of the Atlantic, a large audience gathered to hear from panelists. The panelists included scientist and author Dr. Suzanne Greenlaw, a citizen of the Houlton Band of Maliseet Indians, attorney and Brown University visiting professor Honor Keeler, a citizen of the Cherokee Nation, and Sherry Mitchell, attorney and author of the book Sacred Instructions and citizen of the Penobscot Nation. As I listened to their conversation and all of its wisdom, I tried to pull out some key threads to relay them here for the climate and community audience. The panelists discussed the ongoing impacts of climate change, including the immediate extinction of a way of life as a result of land loss that Indigenous groups across the world are already experiencing. But they also recognize that it's not as simple always as territory loss or even removal of Indigenous peoples. There are also cultural and traditional evictions that happen when sacred spaces are exposed to land uses or policy decisions that preclude the ceremonies, rituals, harvests, and ways of being with the land that are at the heart of Indigenous communities. As a scientist who often needs to engage with these frameworks of preservation, Dr. Greenlaw grapples with the predominant system, which is only equipped to fear a negative impact of humans on the landscape, and not to accept and value the nuance of Indigenous lifeways, or to consider roles and rights that might bring mutual benefit. Dr. Greenlaw also spoke on how Indigenous arts and lifeways, especially ash basket making, can counter the predominant idea that making a living and consumption is always a harmful endeavor. As she says, when you buy an ash basket,
you can buy into systems that heal landscapes. The way we make money doesn't have to be in conflict with our care for the world. Sherry Mitchell spoke frankly about the repeated pattern of, quote, romanticism of an Indigenous solution, this idea that Indigenous peoples have some silver bullet that will save society from the generations of interlocking devastations and issues they played very little role in causing, and on the need for nuance, that Indigenous groups do have much wisdom to offer, but that the burden can't be solely placed on their shoulders. She called on attendees to consider which actions in their own life may not align with the seventh generation principle, a guiding principle that the decisions we make today should support a sustainable world seven generations into the future. Panelists spoke about the fact that there is no end point to what we're trying to accomplish, which is the continuity of life into the future, that we must get out of this mindset that there is a green savior or market-based solution coming, and recognize that what is necessary is to change the way we live fundamentally. Panelists remarked that we often forget how powerful we are and called for solutions that get people working collectively, recognizing our capacity as co-creators and the opportunity and need to relocalize our survival. The full panel was recorded, and you can keep an eye on the Abbey Museum's website and social media to see that and to learn more about the rest of the organization's work.
Do you have a story to share of climate solutions in your community? We'd love to hear from you. Write into the station. And as always, this has been Climate and Community with a Climate to Thrive, Thursdays at 8:30 a.m. Thanks for listening.